Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Suniche Na Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Haryanama 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 Iva Kevalam Kalau Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a class on the Dig Darshini Tika commentary of the prayer known as Sri Damodarashtakam, which was written and composed by Satyavrati Muni, which is a excerpt from the Padma Purana. Verse number 1. Namam Ishwaram Sachid Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Vrajamanam Yashoda Vyolukalad Dhavamanam Paramrishtam Atyantato Drutya Gopya. The commentary begins by Srila Sanatan Goswami, direct disciple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I bow down to the Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, and to Sri Radha. In this commentary, I shall disclose the purport of Sri Damodarashtaka. Before describing the essence of Sri Krishna's divinity in the distinctive character, form, activities, and qualities of his Gokula manifestation, Satyavrata Rishi devotionally bows down to the Lord in prelude to his prayers. He humbly begins by paying his respects to invoke auspiciousness as per the rules. To whom does he offer respects? Ishwaram, to the Supreme Lord. The intended import of the word Ishwaram is electively, quote, the owner of every energy, the undisputed Lord of the universe, or else simply, my Lord. These three meanings respectively imply glorification, prayer to the Supreme, and exclusive bhakti. What is the nature of the Supreme Lord? It is concentrated bliss, sentience, awareness, and eternity. All these are the ingredients of his constitution. This characteristic proves the Lord's supreme position. Next, Satyavrata establishes the Lord's supreme position by portraying his extraordinary charm. His earrings engaged with him in eternal childhood pastimes endlessly play on his cheeks while he flees from his mother, Yashoda. This image captures his splendid visage or countenance. Moreover, the Lord's relation to every ornament is evoked by the exclusive fortune of these two earrings. These earrings are chosen to kiss his cheeks. Thus, another meaning is, his earrings shine because of the Lord's beauty, which refers to his body's peculiarity of beautifying even the jewels he wears. The gopis declare in the 10th canto, Kastriyangate kalapadajata venugita sahamitarya charitana chalet trilokyam trilokya sau bhagam idang cha niriksha rupam yadgo dvijat drumam rika pulakanya vibram. The gopis said, Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. In the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Uddhava states, Yanmartya li laupya kang swayoga, maya balang darshayata grihitam, vismapanang svasya chasapagard, parang padang bhushana bhushanangam. Uddhava said, The Lord appeared in the mortal world by His internal potency, Yoga Maya. The Lord came in His eternal form, which is just suitable for His pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord Himself in His form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. Then, Satyavrata proves the Lord's supreme position through the exceptional qualities of His associates. He says, The Lord shines in Gokula, the land of the gopis, the land of the gopas, the land of the cows and calves. By using the verb shines, Satyavrata Muni indicates that Sri Krishna further enhances the already wonderful land of Gokula by His presence. Or, Satyavrata just hints to the natural beauty of the place, where the Lord appears very splendidly. It is said in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tatro pravishto bhagavan sa ishvaro yogeshvarantar vidhi kalpitasana chakasa gopi parishad gator chitas trilokya lakshmyaika padang vapur dadhat. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for whom the great masters of mystic meditation arrange a seat within their hearts, He took His seat in the assembly of the gopis. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped Him. Satyavrata Vrata promotes the Lord's supreme position by sketching one of His exquisite pastimes in the second line of this stanza. Sri Krishna, standing on top of the grinding mortar, was snatching yogurt from a hanging jar. Seeing His mother coming, He climbed down the mortar and ran in fear of punishment for the mischief of breaking the earthenware. In the 9th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a devoted, detailed narration of this incident of Damodar. Uluk langrer upari vyavastitam markaya kamang dadatang sichistitam hayangavang acharya vishang tikikshanam Niriksha Paschat Sutam Agamach Tranai. Tam Ata Yashting Prasamiksha Satvaras. Tato Vahuhya Pasasara Bitabat. Gopyan Vadavanna Yam Apa Yoginam. Shamang Braveshtung Tapaseritang Mana. Shukadeva Goswami says, at that time, Krishna was sitting on an upside-down wooden mortar for grinding spices and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Yashoda Mata, upon seeing him, very cautiously approached from behind. And when Lord Sri Krishna saw his mother, stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, either case, they fail to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead, her son Krishna, to be only her son and not God, began following Krishna to catch him. In the words of this first verse, Adyatatam Drutya, the suffix yup is used with the word root dru, because the word adyantatas is compounded with it. Yashoda could run faster, thus she soon caught him from behind. The words running fast educed the special charm of her broad hips and breasts, as well as her intense affection. The word gopya reminds us that this rare fortune belongs to the cowherd people only and owes to the expression of their love. The words, she caught him from behind, indicate and hint to his special affection for her, Krishna's affection for his mother. As it is said in the Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 9, Anvanchamana janani brihachchalach, throni barakranta gati sumadhyama, Javena Vrsangsita Kesha Bandana Jutta Prasunangati Paramrishat. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose. The flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet, Yashoda did not fail to capture her son, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Damodarashtakam, Satyavrata Muni composed from the Padma Purana with the Digdarshini Tika of Sri Sanatan Goswami. Verse number 2. Rudantang Muhur Netra Yumagmitrantam Karambhoja yugmena satanka nitram. Muhushvasa kampa trire kanka kanta. Stitagraivan Damodarang Bhakti Badham. Now, in this second verse, Satyavrata Muni refers to the sequel of this Damodara pastime. Here is the description given in the 10th canto, chapter 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kritanga santang prafudantam akshani kashantam anjan mashani swapanina utvikshamanang bhaya vivalekshanam haste grihitva vishayantya avagurat. When caught by Mother Yashoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying, his tears mixing with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hand, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. Sanatan Goswami comments, seeing the stick in his mother's hand, Krishna was trying to avoid the impending punishment by weeping. And he was also rubbing his eyes with his spontaneous innocence. Alternatively, it can be explained that with his hands, Krishna was wiping the tears suddenly provoked by fear. Or else, he was trying to check the flow of tears. The words Saantaka Netram suggest that if his eyes were frightened, his mind was ever more so. Or, just that as a subdued, restrained, and awestruck, cowed expression was in his eyes. In either case, the Lord was showing fear, trying to escape exactly like a spanking. Or, moreover, he was sobbing, shook thee in ornaments, such as the string of pearls on his smooth neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell. The word Damodara means having a rope on the abdomen. As described in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 9, Nachantarna bahiryasya napurvang napi chaparang purvaparang bahishchantar jagato yo jagatscha ya tang matvatmajam atyaktam martyalingam arhoksajam gopi kulokale damna babanda prakritang yata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior. He has neither front nor rear. In other words, Krishna is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, for him there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute, beyond relativity, he is free from distinctions between cause and effect. And although he is the cause and effect of everything, that unmanifested person, who is beyond the perception of the senses, has now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. That rope tied both his belly and the mortar. This incident again emphasizes Sri Krishna's supreme position. but from the perspective of his singular or especially peculiar dependence on his devotee, whether it was because of being the recipient of his mother's love or due to his affection for his mother, he was compelled to let her tie him up. It was not because of the strength of the ropes. In fact, no matter how many ropes she would have joined, they would always be short by 2 inches or 2 fingers. As the Bhagavatam concurs in the 10th canto, chapter 9. Tad dhamma vadyamanasya svarbhakasya kritagasa dvi angulonam abhutena sandade nyachcha jopika yadasit tad api nonyum tenanyad api sandade tad api dvi angulang yunam yadyad adata bandhanam evam svageha damani yashoda sandadyati api gopinang susamantinang smayanti vismitabhavat. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance the width of 2 fingers. Thus she brought another rope to join it. But this rope also was short by a measurement of 2 fingers. And when another rope was joined to it, it was still 2 fingers too short. As many ropes as she joined, all failed. Their shortness could not be overcome. Thus Mother Yashoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household. If the shortness of all the ropes were added together, it must have amounted to the width of thousands of fingers, but still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Mother Yashoda's friends, the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, were smiling and enjoying the fun. Similarly, Mother Yashoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling. All of them were struck with wonder. Alternatively, Sanatana Goswami says, the Lord wants to teach that it is only devotion that can conquer him. This meaning, however, culminates in that he was bound by his mother's devotion and not by the ropes. The narration of this pastime continues as follows in the 9th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sva matu svina gatraya this rasta kavara svaja drisva parishrangmang Krishna kripayasit sva vandane evang sandarshita hyanga harina britya vasyata sva vashenapi krishnena yasyedang seishvarang vashe Neman virincho na bhavo, na shrir api anga sangshraya, pasadang lebire gopi, yatte papa vimuktidat. Nayang sukapo bhagavan, dehinang gopika sutta, jnaninang chatma bhutanang, yata bhakti matam iha. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and Lord Indra. This is all under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of His devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the Goddess of Fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the deliverer of this material world, can receive such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Furthermore, in the 10th canto, chapter 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord thought like this: Devarshir me priyatamo yad imao dhanadat majao tat tata sadayishyami yad gitang tang mahatmana. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee. And therefore, because he wants me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Hence, Narada's devotion to the Lord is the true cause. It is the true cause behind the pastime of uprooting the Arjuna trees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Damodarashtakam by Satyavrata Muni from the Padma Purana, with the Digdarshini Tika by Sri Sanatan Goswami, verse number 3. Itidrik swali labhir ananda kunde svagosham nimajanta makya payantam Dadiyeshita Gyeshu Bhaktayarji Tatvam Punak Prematastang Shatavriti Vande. Srila Sanatana Goswami now says, Satyavrati now glorifies the Lord's supreme position through his unique attributes. The conjunction iti means in this way. It relates the present verse to the Lord's dependence on his devotee, which was mentioned in the previous verse of Damodarashtaka. Therefore, the import is that by showing such dependence, he flooded Gokula in a lake of bliss. Alternatively, the word iti relates this verse to the pastime of being bound up by a rope. In that case, the meaning would be, by such charming infancy pastimes, he flooded Gokula in a lake of bliss. This is described in the Bhagavatam, in Canto 10, Chapter 11, as follows. Gopibi stobito nutyad. Bhagavan balavat kvachit. Ugayati kvachin mudhas. Tad vasho daru yantravat. Bibharti kvachid agyapatta. Pita konmana padukam. Bahu shepan cha kurute. Swanam cha pritim avahan. The gopis would say, if you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you one half of a sweetmeat. By saying these words, or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encouraged Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at the behest of their bidding. In this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. Sometimes Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this article, or bring that article. Sometimes they would order Krishna to bring a wooden plank, or wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And although Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. But sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there. All of this was just to invite the pleasure of his relatives. He would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. With such activities, he was submerging the residents of Gokula in a deep lake of blissful emotions, as indicated by the words, at the delight of his kinfolk. Alternatively, Sanatana Goswami says, the word Ghosha may also mean fame or proclaiming glory. Krishna would himself plunge in a lake of ecstasy, experiencing the highest bliss upon hearing the glories of his people, the gopis, the gopas, etc. By enacting such pastimes, Sri Krishna also revealed his dependence on his devotees. And to scholars who are absorbed in studying his majestic aspects, behold, I am captivated by devotees, not by those who pursue the path of knowledge. As shown in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, Darshayam stad vidan loka atmano britya vashyatam vrajasyo vaha vai harsham bhagavan bala chastitai. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brajavasis by his childhood activities. Thus, Krishna opened the secret to scholars absorbed in studying his godly features. Alternatively, Sanatana Goswami says that Krishna disclosed to the scholars, who well very know much the influence of the Lord's associates on him and not to others, because esoteric bhakti and its glories are not to be revealed to sophists who pursue mere erudition and who are ignorant of the devotee's greatness. Thus, in this cited verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the words Tad Vidang refer to those who are aware of the Lord's bond of affection with His servants. The author of this verse, Satyavrata, then feels as if he should laud the Lord unendingly out of love. This glorification should be interpreted as a spontaneous appreciation imbued of exclusive devotion. It is not just awe for the Lord's majestic features. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Damodarashtakam by Satyavrata Muni from the Padma Purana with the Dik Darshani Tika by Sri Sanatan Goswami. Verse number 4. Varan deva mokshang na mukshavadhingva na chanyang vrinehang varesha dapiha idang deva pur nata gopala balam sadame manas yavirastam kimanyai. Srila Sanatan Goswami now writes, after glorifying the Lord's supreme position, Satyavrata Rishi formulates his prayer in two verses. The import of the direct address, Deva, is, O supremely brilliant, or O hero of sweet pastimes. Satyavrata Rishi says, although you could grant any boon, I am not entertaining the fourth goal of human life, namely liberation, even in its topmost expression, a place in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, where the ultimate happiness is experienced. And I am not hankering for any other achievement which could be attained by the ninefold practice of bhakti. Sanatan Goswami says, alternatively, the word anya indicates that which is desirable by others, or else it means whatever else could be coveted here in Vrindavan. The word iha is related to the second half of the stanza as well. The intention is to show the comparative value of the three mentioned goals, namely, number one, eternal life in the spiritual planets is superior to ordinary liberation, as expounded in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, second part. Ninefold bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, and so on, is in turn a higher achievement than the spiritual realm. Statements such as that found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 15, as follows. Kamang bhavasva vrijinayar nirayeshu nastach cheto livad yadi natu padayo rameta vacha chadas tulasivad yadite ngiri shobha Puryetite gunaganaryadi karna randra. The four Kumaras said, O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any condition, any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet, that our words are made beautiful by speaking your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered unto your lotus feet, and as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental glories. All of this proves that the absorption in Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, etc., is more desirable than life in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Because the spiritual world is any and everywhere when such absorption is present. I will repeat that. The statements of the four Kumaras prove that absorption in the process of hearing and chanting about God is more desirable than life in Vaikuntha, because the spiritual world is that place anywhere and everywhere when such absorption of hearing and chanting is present. Sri Krishna may ask, then which boon do you choose? And Satyavrata replies, O Lord, please enter my mind forever with this Balagopala form of these Vrindavan pastimes. Although you are already present in my heart as Supersoul, let this form of yours be manifested in my meditation in all of its full-fledged beauty. But the Lord may insist. Liberation, residence in Vaikuntha, the ninefold bhakti path are also extremely useful. Why do you not accept those as well? Hence, Satyavrata declares, what is the value of these other boons? I do not need other privileges such as liberation. Your presence alone is the perfection, and it implies every possible pleasure. On the other hand, in this Balagopala form, you are so wonderful that to obtain something as insignificant as liberation without seeing you would just cause a deep regret. Now the Lord may say, you are right. Salvation should be rejected. But then, why not you choose to see me in one of my perfect four-handed figures? You could contemplate me, converse with me, and so forth. Satyavrata replies, what would then be the value of other blessings? I am entirely devoted to this splendid form of Balagopal, and I cannot relate to anything else. The glories of contemplating the Lord within the heart are described extensively by the sage of Pipalayana in the second part of the chapter called Tapoloka in Sanatan Goswami's other work, Brihad Bhagavatamritam. The desire expressed in this verse of Satyavrata's Dhammadharashtakam is so sublime that it turns this prayer into a glorification. This applies to the following verses as well. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Dhammadharashtakam by Satyavrata Muni from the Padma Purana with the Digha Darshini Tika by Sri Sanatan Goswami. Verse number 5. Idang te mukham bhojam adyanta nilayar vritang kuntalai snigda raktaischa gopya muhuschumbitam bimbaraktadarangme manasyavirastam alam lakshalabhai. Srila Sanatan Goswami says, thinking, I am particularly eager to see your enchanting face, O Krishna. Satyavrata Muni keeps praying. Although the beauty of his meditative vision is such that it cannot be phrased, he tries to indicate what he experienced by using a metaphor. Your countenance is a blooming lotus which extinguishes every affliction with the nectar of supreme bliss. May it be present in my mind again and again. This fully blown lotus is encircled by your dark blue, glossy, and red-hued curls, which are like bumblebees humming around the corolla. The corolla is the whirl of petals of a flower that collectively form an inner floral envelope. The word gopi refers to either Yashoda or Srimati Radharani. The adverb muhu is related to the past principal word chumbitam and the verb avirastam. The meaning is, may Krishna's lotus face, kissed again and again by Yashoda, may it enter my mind again and again. Sanatana Goswami says, alternatively, if we stick to the sequence of the words, muhu is in syntax relation with the word chumbitam only, and the meaning is as follows. Yashoda is blessed with rare fortune. Hence, she can kiss Krishna again and again. May this lotus face enter my mind at least once. Or, Sanatana Goswami suggests, the word sada could be dragged from the previous verse, reinforcing the sense in this way. May this lotus face, kissed and again by Mother Yashoda, always enter in my mind. The compound Bimba Rakta Adharam, having lips as red as a bimba fruit, is used as an adjective for the word mukham or face. Therefore, hundreds of thousands of other boons are just insignificant. Here, the word laksha, hundreds of thousands, denotes every possible and not a fixed number. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Damodarashtakam by Satyavrata Muni from the Padma Purana with the Digdarshini Tika by Sri Sanatana Goswami. Verse number 6. Namo Deva Damodaranta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dhuka Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vishyati Dinam Batanu Grihanesham Mam Agyamedi Yakshi Drishya. Sanatana Goswami now writes, in a sudden wave of love aroused by glorification, Satyavrata Muni now hopes to see the Lord directly. Aware that the chanting of Sri Krishna's name is the supreme resort in all circumstances, he prays in humility. Obeisances to you. To you is not used explicitly because of awe and fear or because of the agitation provoked by love. After bowing down, Satyavrata entreats, O my Lord, concede to me your grace. Expressing his need, he says, I am drowning in the perpetual ocean of birth and death. I am afflicted by the pangs of separation from your vision. I feel utterly miserable. I am absolutely helpless. I am incapable of finding remedy. I am about to die. I am as good as dead. I am utterly ignorant. Hence, I am unable to find any solution. Next, Satyavrata defines the grace that he expects. Please, Lord, look upon me with mercy again and again. Shower upon me the nectar of your merciful glance. Revive me. Finally, Satyavrata clearly asserts his desire. Please appear before me. Satyavrata expresses his plea only gradually, because this last request is so lofty that it would be improper to mention it abruptly. Sri Krishna's direct vision is superior to his meditative vision, as elucidated with full logic by the Lord's associates in the second part of the Sri Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Then, Satyavrata further justifies his aspiration by using a direct series of addresses. O Deva, you have a divine form, hence I desire to see you. O Damodar, because of your special affection for your devotees, you will certainly appear. O Ananta, you bestow unlimited merciful glances. O Prabhu, you are endowed with limitless, inconceivable, amazing, and great powers. Thus, even if not perceivable with the mundane senses, you can still appear before me. O Isha, O Lord, you are supremely independent. Since his mercy can be directed even to the unfit, according to the Lord's sweet will, this independence should be understood to be absolutely causeless. O Vishnu, you are all pervasive. You are expert in entering groves and caves in Vrindavan. You can as well appear before me without great effort. You are undivided, Ananta. You are all-pervasive, Vishnu. O Damodar, the affectionate exchange with your devotees is above all limits. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Damodarashtakam by Satyavrata Muni from the Padma Purana with the Dig Darshani Tika by Sanatan Goswami. Verse 7. Kuviratma jau baddha mortyaiva yadvat tvaya mochitao bhakti bhajao kritaucha tata prema bhaktin swakang me prayachcha namokshe graho mesti damodareha. Sanatan Goswami now says, after praying for a direct vision with intense devotion and ardent expectation, Satyavrata Rishi is now stirred by devotional emotions. Satyavrata realizes that the Lord is achieved only by a few and only by loving devotion. Thus he recites this verse. These are his thoughts. My heart will not find solace in a single vision and the anguish of separation which would follow. Only by loving devotion may I have him forever. But I am a great offender. How can this possibly happen to me? Still, certain that the Lord's affection is so glorious that it fulfills even the impossible, Satyavrata asks for loving devotion, discarding liberation. While bound with ropes to the mortar, Sri Krishna dragged it, entering between the two Yamala Arjuna trees. The mortar was stuck, and Krishna uprooted the trees by pulling. This feat of the Lord, who is distinguished by such exquisite pastimes, evokes his direct manifestation and his bodily contact. The sons of Kubera were thus delivered from the curse of Sri Narada and as well from the cycle of birth and death. Not only that, Nalakuvra and Manigriva obtained supreme devotion as well. Therefore, Satyavrata says, Bhakti, the ultimate perfection, had always been the shelter of the two sons of Kubera. This indicates that indeed Prema Bhakti was granted to Manigriva and Nalakuvra. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the Lord Himself in the 10th canto, 10th chapter. Tad gachatang mat paramau nalakuvara sadhanam sanjato mai bhavovam ipsita paramobhava. O Nalakuvara and Manigriva, now you may both return to your homes. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled. And now you will never fall from that platform. Herein is the meaning. You longed for the topmost sentiment, praying, and this sentiment was duly aroused within your heart. Thereafter, your births and deaths, and with them any material suffering, are gone for good. Having cited their example, Satyavrata then prays, O Damodar, in the same way, give me the exclusive shelter of your lotus feet. Invest me with the devotion by which you become the exclusive focus of one's life. However, Krishna may suggest, why do you neglect liberation? You can accept it along with devotion, as the two sons of Kuvera did. Otherwise, you will still have the problem of births and deaths. Preventing such a proposal, Satyavrata states, I'm longing for devotion, not for liberation. If births and deaths cease upon achieving devotion, let it be. And if they don't, it is still fine with me. After all, this is certainly not my preoccupation. Herein, Sanatana Goswami says, is the esoteric meaning. The owner of a Chintamani gem knows that everything one may ever need is included in the gem. Why shall one covet anything else separately? Herein is another meaning. Upon hearing, O Damodar, give me your supreme devotion, the Lord may grow suspicious. I am tied to this mortar. Do you want to keep me bound forever? Satyavrata therefore protests, it is not my urgency to free you from these ropes. And the tone of his voice makes it clear that he will certainly unfasten him. Oh, please, bestow upon me the unique loving devotion for this very form of yours. Sanatana Goswami now says, also, this can also be the interpretation. Satyavrata may say, please give me devotion here in Vrindavan. In order to witness the Lord's pastimes, Satyavrata craves to reside eternally in Vrindavan, where devotion, permeated with bliss, appears unparalleled, and where this exclusive manifestation of Sri Krishna can be directly experienced. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Damodarashtakam by Satyavrata Muni from the Padma Purana with the Dig Darshani Tika of Sri Sanatana Goswami. Final verse number 8. Namaste stu damne, spura dipti damne, tradiyo dorayata vishvasya damne, namo radhikayai tvadiya priyayai, namo nandalilaya devaya tubhyam. Sanatana Goswami says, concluding his glorification, Satyavrata prays homages to the Lord's extraordinarily bodily features, his retinue, his entourage, his intimates, etc., one by one, hoping to fulfill his ambition, or else out of great devotion, he says, I bow down to this magnificent rope, source of dazzling life, which binds your belly. This image evokes the quintessence of Brahman, which is inherent in the Lord, and in the rope also which surrounds him. Then Satyavrata continues, thereafter, I bow down to your belly. By being tied in these exceptional circumstances, it displays the beauty and tenderness of these early childhood pastimes. But what is this belly? It is the substratum of the whole universe. That belly includes the manifestation of all moving and non-moving objects. The lotus containing all 14 planetary systems springs up from this very abdomen. This evokes the universal form which was shown twice to Mother Yashoda. In fact, by fastening Krishna's belly, Yashoda subdued not only Krishna, but the entire universe as well, which is contained in it. The Lord displayed his exclusive affection for his devotee by allowing Yashoda to tie him up, although it is otherwise impossible to bind the unlimited Lord. the inconceivable feat of fitting the contraction of the whole universe within the ties evokes Krishna's mind-boggling potency. The reason of offering respects first to the rope and then to the Bali is the position of the rope over the tied abdomen, the intention to express the superior status of the belly. And now, Satyavrata offers obedience to Sri Bhagavati, the goddess of fortune, Sri Radha, knowing that by the mercy of this most dear associate of the Lord, every desire, albeit unrealistic, may be fulfilled. By mentioning Radharani's name, he refers to all the other cowherd girls as well, although she is named alone because of her prominence. Her appellation, Radhika, reflects her character. She ceaselessly worships the Lord. Consequently, she is very dear to him. Radhika may be taken as her proper name, as opposed to the above said etymological sense. In this case, her name is not the result of a particular worship, and her status does not have external causes. She is eternally the Lord's beloved. With the words, Tvadiya Priyayai, Satyavrata expresses her greatness. I bow down to Radha because she cares for all your associates due to the intensity of her devotion for you. What to speak of how much she cares for you? Such is the level of her loving devotion. Sanatan Goswami gives an alternative understanding. My Lord, your dear ones ought to be universally worshipped. She is your beloved, therefore I bow down to her. Then, wishing to close with a supreme glorification of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, such as the Rasa Leela, but to keep it confidential at the same time, he concludes with this small gesture as for the maxim. A meal should terminate with sweets. If Devaya is in apposition with Ananta Leelaya, the sense is, I bow down to the Divine One, whose pastimes are also divine. Otherwise, the meaning is, you are absorbed in eternal pastimes with Sri Radhika. Therefore, I bow down to you. Having thus indicated the whole Gokula pastime, I bow down to it. This is the orientation of the purport. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.